This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on love, on fire with love. Set them on love, that'd be good too. Last week at Mary Naughton's ordination in Miami, the priest who gave the sermon started out with a story that I just have to tell you because it's perfect for today. So it's Albert Coutier's the priest. He's now the rector of St. Benedict's down south. And it's Chantal's church, by the way, or one of our other vocalists. And he has two preschoolers that graduated from preschool that past week. So he was saying he had gone to their preschool graduation, and he was there, and it was a church school, and so that a little boy was going to recite the Lord's Prayer, and his name was Kevin. And so Kevin comes up to the microphone, and they thought, well, this is pretty amazing. He's 3 years old. He's going to be able to say the whole Lord's Prayer. And Kevin gets up to the microphone, and he says, "Our Father, who art in Kevin, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in Kevin. Give us this day, da 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 da." And so they thought, well, this is really cute, you know. And then Albert said, and I hope that all of you will realize that it's true, that it's absolutely true. This prayer that we pray, on earth as it is in heaven, is the prayer about on earth as it is in us, with God coursing through every single one of us if we are open to it. So I'll get to how that connects with the gospel in a second. I just want to set the scene a bit for today's gospel. We have just started the season that we call Pentecost, and it's 6 months long, just about. And it started with Pentecost a couple weeks ago, and then we had Trinity, and now we're here. And we are going to be in the Gospel of Mark almost the whole time. Today's Gospel was from chapter 3. And a whole lot of stuff has happened up until now. It's been a whirlwind. And Jesus has been doing great. It's been a real honeymoon period. A real honeymoon up until today. Listen to this action that's happened. And this is how the Gospel of Mark is. Everything is bam, 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 bam. You'll hear immediately this and immediately that and immediately this. Listen to these verbs and actions. This is a synopsis of the first two chapters. Baptized by John, tempted by devil, saw John arrested, proclaimed kingdom of God has come near, taught to repent and believe in good news, called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, taught in synagogue, amazed the people, healed man with unclean spirit, cured Simon's mother-in-law, casted out demons, healed a zillion more sick people, took time apart to pray before dawn, found by disciples, taught radical stuff against Jewish law, became known all over, healed on the Sabbath, angered and grieved over hardened hearts, climbed a mountain, called the rest of his crew, knew he would need help, and finally, he went home. He went home. That's this little tiny phrase that comes right before today's gospel. He went home. I would too. I mean, that all happened in probably a very short period of time. He had called the rest of his disciples, this crew around him, and he goes home with them. He lived in Capernaum at the time, and they were gathered together, probably going to have this meal together, have a glass of wine, kick back, review their day, debrief the calling and what was that all about, maybe have a brainstorm about what the ministry was going to be. But no, the crowd had followed him. And that begins today's gospel. And it was a huge crowd. It says so huge that they couldn't even eat. It must have just been loud outside. And so he goes to the people, and it wasn't everybody in that crowd that was crazy about him. The scribes had traveled over 100 miles, and the scribes were the learned legal authorities of the time. And they were calling him crazy. They said, he has Beelzebul. He is possessed by the devil. The definition of Beelzebul literally is Lord of the Flies. It means he was possessed by the devil, they were saying. Don't listen to him. Really, honestly, they were probably really getting pretty afraid of his power. Other people were calling him crazy. They were saying he's possessed by demons. What is this guy doing? How could this possibly be happening? And then his family was gathering around. They probably thought, okay, we got to get him out of here. He is just creating such a commotion. Maybe they felt embarrassed that he was gaining so much. He was so famous, but also gaining notoriety. If they wanted to do an intervention and say, come on, come back to your senses. And what does Jesus do? Jesus teaches them in the way that he always teaches. He did parables with them, so they had to think. So they had to figure it out. So they would hear it where they were at the time. There's layers and layers and layers in his response. But the first is pretty logical. The first couple, he says, if I'm Satan, how can I cast out Satan? I would want to be encouraging more people to follow me. If Satan casts out Satan, how could that be? Or if I'm a demon, I'm not going to be casting out demons. I'm going to want more demons. Makes no sense. Listen to yourselves. And then he says one of the most famous lines in the whole Bible, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it meant the literal about, you know, if you're saying I'm a demon and I'm casting out a demon, how can that be? That can't hold up. But it also is a call to unity. Come on. We're all in this together, he's saying. So what if I heal on the Sabbath? Isn't the healing more important? Come with me. Join with me. Lincoln used that famous line, a house divided against itself, in a famous speech he gave to the Republican convention that probably helped to end slavery, because they were in the thick of it at the time. A house divided against itself cannot stand. This is a call for unity. And that's when the healing begins to happen. And it happens within each one of us. Within each one of us. He is getting so perturbed at these people that he talks very harshly and he says, you know, you can be forgiven for any kind of blasphemy that you have in your life, but if you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, that is an unforgivable sin. That's unforgivable. How can you be forgiven if you are not even willing to look at forgiveness? You're turning your back on it. It's unforgivable. You can't be forgiven in that way. You're dividing yourself from God. He's saying to them, wake up, look what's been going on. Look what's been going on. Come together. We are never more aware of this need for unity and our response than when someone close to us dies or when someone is very sick or hurt. Recently, many of you know that Mark Marble, who has been a long-time parishioner here, was in a horrible car wreck this week. She's in critical condition and trauma out at DCH, can't have visitors. She's holding on for life, literally. It's touch and go still. And what's happened that has been so beautiful, and I have permission to share this, is that there's a woman who wrote a prayer, and it's this beautiful, beautiful imagery of the Daughters of the King, which is a prayer group in our church. She encouraged them that when every time they think about Mark, who's also a member of this prayer group, to image this circle around her bed, holding hands and bathing her in prayer and healing and love. It's a powerful, powerful image. My sisters and brothers, that's what Christ is calling us to do, to hold hands with one another in this unity of purpose. And it has to be with us starting to take a look at ourselves and how we either contribute to that or how we turn our back on it. Whether we admit when we do wrong, whether we admit that we need help, and whether we help other people when they do. It starts with us. There's a probably famous now to you as well poem by a 6th century Chinese philosopher named Lao Tzu, and it goes like this. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. Each week when we come and we get up out of our chairs and we walk forward to this table and we put out our hands and we say yes to receiving this Christ within us, we are saying yes to all that goes with it in our unity of purpose with one another. And just before we take communion, at the end, toward the end of that preparation time in our prayer, we all say the Lord's Prayer together. And we use the contemporary version of it now in this service, which is really much closer to the biblical. And when you say it today, I encourage you to really think about what you're saying as Kevin said it. As Kevin said it earlier. And in closing, let us pray, thinking that way, a modern version. Let us pray. Most Holy One, who is within each and every one of us, you are holy indeed. Give us this day all that we need to help this world. Forgive us for any time we turn away from your love and your care. Help us look always to forgiving others. We know when we turn to you, you save us from any trials, any challenges, calming us in the midst of storm or calming the storm around us. You deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. May we act like it. Amen.